Then the boy was kicking in the dirt, and the air around them was humming with more missiles. As he drew his pistol, a spear buried its point in the sandy earth just in front of Ryan, missing him by less than a foot.
Inside! Bring any wounded!
Garcia tried to pull a shaft out of his shoulder. Janine, a radio operator from Warwag 2, had taken an arrow in her left arm, just above the elbow. Instead of panicking and trying to pull it out, ripping the muscle away on the barbed tip, she calmly knelt and snapped the narrow shaft, pulling the jagged point clear without harming herself.
Good going, Janine!
Bastards!
As she stood, a bullet hit her on the left side of her chest, knocking her to her knees again. Before Ryan could move, a second bullet smashed into her head, just above the left ear, killing her instantly.
Ah, fire blast!
The worst of it was that there was no target available for his own blaster. The rain of arrows and the occasional bullet came from the shelter of the surrounding trees and boulders. The entrance to the redoubt gave them temporary relief from the attack. Apart from Janine, whose corpse was left where it had dropped, they all made it safely. None of them except Peachy had injuries that were likely to prove terminal.
Duh.
The traitor beckoned Ryan to his side.
I never seen a one of them. You make who they are?
Sure as shit aren't sec, man. They only got single-shot blasters, and only four or five of them. Rest got bows. Must be Indians.
Yeah, main thing is, make sure they can't get around behind us. Now that we're snug in here, we can leave a couple with automatic rifles, and they can hold off the entire damned Sioux Nation.
Apaches, traitor. I just heard the one giving a command. Apache, I'm sure of it.
For the first time, there was a moment to survey their surroundings. Ryan had been with the traitor on a few previous occasions when they had scouted a newly discovered redoubt. Most of them had been like this. The destroyed sectors were the giveaway. It meant that the fortress had been opened up, maybe within the past year. If the entrance was peeled open, then the chances of finding anything worthwhile inside stood between one and zilch, probably nearer to zilch. With the traitor, deciding and acting were only a heartbeat away from each other. Once he'd made a plan, he'd act upon it. Two members of the group, along with the worst wounded, stayed just inside the entrance. The remnants of the doors, combined with a lot of fallen concrete, provided excellent cover. With Uzis and a British Enfield support weapon, they had all the firepower they could need to hold off even a direct frontal attack. Nightfall was still a long way off, so they were secure. The traitor and Ryan, with the rest of the party, moved inside. The hand lights they brought with them at the ready. The ceiling had fallen in several places, revealing the mesh of rusting iron above it. Water had seeped through from somewhere higher up the mountain and dribbled down the moss-covered walls. The floor was ankle-deep in stagnant pools of water, covering a tangle of tumbled rubbish.
There's bed. Don't seem like there's another entrance.
Ryan could tell that himself. All over Deathlands there were ruined buildings, and some of them had never been entered since the day of Skydark. You got used to telling the difference in the air. This redoubt smelled of decay, of urine, and animals. Often there'd be a link with other parts of the huge fortresses, and there'd be some kind of airflow. In a few redoubts, the nuke power unit still functioned, and you had lights and heat. Those were the ones where you looked for some kind of trading treasure.
Traitor, want to go on?
No point. I can smell the rotten stillness. No point.
They'd only gone about 200 yards into the cavern, but the weight of the earth above them was already becoming oppressive. It was like being inside your own tomb, with the worry that someone outside was about to slam the door and turn the key on you. It wasn't a good feeling. They started back.
Sounds like Peachy. Off to buy the farm.
Ah, rad blast. I truly hate to lose a young one.
They quickly made their way back to the main entrance.
Couple of them showed up between them trees. I think I hit one. Maybe both. Maybe not.
Janine's body lay where it had fallen, and the corpse of Peachy had been dragged to the side of the redoubt entrance. Ryan only glanced at it as he went by. The pile of meat and clothes wasn't the bright, laughing kid anymore. He'd gone forever. Trader squinted around the corner of one of the tumbled sectors.
Standoff. They can't get in at us, and we'll find it hard to get out safe. What's the moon?
Ryan's job as war captain included keeping up with that kind of knowledge. Being certain if you had a full moon, or only a thumbnail of a sliver could easily mean the difference between breathing and choking. Being trapped in the old redoubt was exactly that kind of situation.
Quarter. Most likely the clouds will clear after dusk. Be enough of them to make us if we try to move.
A few pebbles rattled down in front of the entrance. The trader looked around at Ryan.
Above us.
Yeah. Fire blast. Smart move on their part. If they start a slide, that'll fill the doorway to the redoubt. They won't have to risk jack shit. A few hundred tons of bedrock will seal us in tight with nowhere to run.
Ryan went further inside to look at the broken remnant of the plan of the redoubt again, hoping that he might somehow find a clue that would open up an avenue of escape. But the air remained still and stagnant. He walked slowly back to rejoin the others. Outside, there was a bright sunlight, and no sign of the men behind the ambush.
We will break stones and make the mountain fall, but you go with your lies if you send out the man with one eye.
Everyone, including the traitor, looked at Ryan. Praying was not an activity that came naturally to the old man, not for some time now. He'd prayed a lot, wildly, after he was trawled forward from 1896 to the alien year of 1998, plucked from the side of his beloved wife and two little children. He tried all sorts of desperate entreaties to any kind of deity that might be listening, knowing all the time that it was futile, that there was no possible way of jumping him back through time to rejoin his family. Now Doc Tanner prayed for Ryan Cotter.
Please, Lord, hear me. I know that this man, Ryan, might not have been what some folks would call a good man. I know he's butchered many of the ungodly, but the overwhelming majority of them truly had retribution coming. He's totally loyal to his friends, and he upholds the right. Isn't that what it's all about, Lord? About upholding the right? Ryan Cotter is a man who walks through the valley of the shadow of Deathlands and fears no evil. He doesn't pass by on the other side, Lord. So now he needs you. Now he's slipping into the darkness. Aid him with thy rod and thy staff, Lord.
On his knees in the dimly lit room, Doc wasn't aware that the others had come in to stand behind him and listen. Jack raised a silent hand to brush an errant tendril of snow-white hair off his high forehead. JB leaned against the edge of the door, face lined and tired. He'd been searching desperately for some other way out of the redoubt, for something that might save the life of his oldest companion. Christy stood by him. She and Mildred had been experimenting for a day and a half with the limited supply of drugs, trying to hit upon some combination that might drag the deeply unconscious man out of his coma. Mildred had explained to her that the damage to Ryan wasn't caused by the bacteria from the food, so a normal course of antibiotics would be fruitless. It was the toxins that the bacteria had left in the stew that were killing him. Antitoxins would save him, but the medicine cupboard didn't contain what Mildred needed. Experimentation was the only hope, to stumble upon something that would ease the progress of the fatal disease. Now he lay there, as still as a carved statue. His chest was barely moving, and his breathing was stilted and labored. Twice already, Mildred had been forced to help him breathe through a crisis, and feeding him was out of the question.
Lord, I think that this might be as fruitless as whistling in the dark. But if there is someone beyond the veil, someone listening to the rambling words of a damned old cretin, then help me. Help us. Help Ryan Cotter, Lord. I beg you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The old man started and looked around, nearly losing his balance and falling in the process. Christy stepped forward and helped him to his feet.
Thank you, my dear. I do hope that you don't think the old chap's losing his marbles.
Of course not, Doc. If it helps, if anything'll help, then it's worth a try.
Why not use Outmatter power, Christy?
Can't, Jack. It's not the way Gaia's forces work. I could lift him up and break metal and do anything that needs power. But Ryan's not in need of power. It's strength, Jack.
Ryan needs strength.
Right. But from inside him. Sure, I can help him a little, hold him and talk to him, it helps some. But when you get to the ace on the line, Ryan will make the score. Or he won't. That's all.
Any...